Today's shir is in Masechta Menachos on Daf Mem Beis. We will begin on Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis, six lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the second last word on the line, Lememra. Begins the Gemara. Lememra de Islahu Shi'ura. Should we say, based on what we learned at the end of yesterday's shir, that tzitzis have an amount, a measurement, that is required on the length of the tzitzis? We learned at the end of yesterday's shir that Amar Rav Papa, two lines above where we began the shir today, Amar Rav Papa, Hilchasa Dalid B'Toch Sholosh Mushuleshes Arba. The halacha is that you require to be mekayem the mitzvah of tzitzis properly four tzitzis, which are doubled over once they're put through the hole in the corner of the garment. B'tarach shalosh, it has to be within, that hole has to be within three etzbois, the widths of three fingers from the end of the beged. Meshuleches arba, it's hanging down four. And we had a machlokes between Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam in Tosfos Divrei HaMaskil Beis Shammai Oimrim, where Rashi learns that it is the anaf, the part that hangs down from the gedil, from the braided part, which has the five kishorim, the knots, and the long tzitzis that is surrounding, going around the other tzitzis. So that is the braided part, the gedil. So that Rashi learns that the four refers to the hanging part after the braid. And therefore, we know that the hanging part is double the braid. So if the hanging part is four, the braid is two, and together the entire tzitzis will be six. However, according to Rabbeinu Tam, and that's how we paskin halacha l'maisa, and Tosfos says in the third line of that Tosfos, Beis Shammai Oimrim v'chein anu noyagin, that is the minhag like Rabbeinu Tam, that the Gemara here, when it says arba, is not referring to the hanging part. Rather, it's referring to the gedil, to the braided part, the one with the knots. That is four. If so, the anaf, the part that's hanging down from the braid, is double that. That means the hanging part is eight. Eight and four is 12. V'chein anu noyagin, that it's shneim oster, that it is 12. 12 goydlim, the width of a thumb, long. That's the shear. On that, the Gemara is now asking, Lememra de Islu Shira, are you telling me that it has a shear? For a minute, I'll ask you a question from a brisa. We learned in a brisa, tzitzis. What does the word tzitzis mean? Says the brisa, ain't tzitzis ela yaitse. The word tzitzis comes from the word yaitse. It has to protrude. And also, ain't tzitzis ela mashu. How much does it have to protrude from the bottom of the garment? It just has to protrude from the corner of the garment, a mashehu. So the word tzitzis means both of these halachas together. It's yaitse a mashehu, as we find in the last Rashi on the Amid. Ukvar olu ziknei Beis Shammai, ziknei Beis Hillel yis yachin ben beseira. We find that Beis Shammai, the elders of Beis Shammai and the elders of Beis Hillel went up to the attic of Yoichan ben Beseira, v'omru, and they said there in the aliyah of Yoichan ben Beseira, tzitzis ain lo shir, there is no shir for tzitzis. Ki yaitzibay, and similarly, lulav ain by shir, there's no shir for a lulav. So my love, the Gemara understands that what did the ziknei Beis Shammai Beisil mean? Ain lo shir klal. There's no shir how long the tzitzis or the lulav could be. There is no shir how short the tzitzis or the lulav could be. And if so, we have a question on the psak of Rav Papa. How could Rav Papa say that there is a shear, which we figured out according to Rabbeinu Tam, is 12 thumbs, 12 goydlim, when we see from that brice over there that it's a mashu, it's ain lo shear. So the Gemara says, loy. That is not correct, as we turn to the Mem Beis Amud Aleph. When it says in the Braisa, ain loy shir, it means lamala. It means there's no shir how long the tzitzis can be, how tall the lulav can be. Aval yesh lo shir lamata. There is a shir lamata. And what is the shir? That's what we learned at Daf Mem Aleph on the Beis. The shir is four for the gedil, the braided part, and then double that 8 for the ana, a total of 12. That's the shir lamata. So Rashi asks, but what about where the Brisa said that even a mashu, the second line of Rashi, on the top of the amid, v'horek toni mashu, debe mashu nami miskashri gardumi, the stubs, if the tzitzis tore, so then it's a mashuhu, and even that is lavdafka, that it's a mashuhu, as the Bir Alocha speaks out in Simen Yud Beis, Sifkat and Aleph, because we still require that what's left after there was a rip and the tzitzis tore off, there has to be kedei aniva, there has to be that we have the ability to make a slip knot, and that the shear of that is 2 etzpois, so that's the minimum. But it means that compared to the 12 that you really need, it's like a mashu. But even that mashu, even for a stub, when it tore off, a basic amount is still required. The Eloi Temahachi. If you're not going to say like this, and you're going to say that in fact there is no shear to a lulav, even a minimum shear, so let's see what the halach is by lulav. Kiyaitzu by lulav, the same would be by lulav, because they're both put together in the same brisa. Ein loy shear hachinami. When the brisa said by lulav that it has no shear, hachinami de ein loy shear klal, are you going to tell me that it means it has no shear at all? Both lamalo, the height, the length, and lamata, the minimum, there is no shear. But now we learned in a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah that lulav sheyesh boy gimel tvachim, a lulav that has 3 tvachim, kidelin aneya boy, and with that you're able to shake the lulav, is kosher. And really, the Gemara there in Sukkah on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis puts in one letter here, u kidelin aneya, avov. Lulav sheyesh boy gimel tvachim, as the Gemara learns, it's equal in height to the hadasim of 3 tvachim, which require 3 tvachim, ooh, kedelin aneya, and then you have another tefach above the height of the 3 tvachim with which you can shake the lulav. So then the halach is kosher. You need a minimum of 4 tvachim for a lulav. So we see there is a minimum for a lulav. Elo, how are you going to learn by lulav? Ein lo shir lamala. There is no maximum. You can have a lulav as long as you want. Aval yesh lo shir lamata. But lamata there is a shir. Hachanami, just like by lulav, that's the explanation. So it doesn't mean ein lo shir klal lamala u lamata. It only means ein lo shir lamala. But lamata there's a shir. Hachinami by tzitzis, ein lo shir lamala. There is no shir to the length of the tzitzis. That could be as long as you want. Aval yesh lo shir lamata. But it does have a shir, a minimum shir of 12 goydlim and 2 etzpois, as we said, when it tore off. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brisa. Tzitzis, what is tzitzis referred to? Ein tzitzis ella anav. Tzitzis refers to a loose fringe. V'chein hu oimer. And so we find a pasuk in Yecheskel. V'ikechein he took me b'tzitzis roishi, in the locks of my hair. V'amar Abaya, and Abaya explained this. V'tzarech l'forda kitzutzisa darmoy. You have to separate when Rashi learns, when you make the tzitzis. So you make part of it is the braided part, the gedil, with the knots in it. And then the rest is the anuf that's hanging down. So that is similar to the chup, the blurius, as Rashi says, on the 4th wide line on top of Rashi. Kil blurius shal oiv gechavim devuka ismal mata. The way they used to make this hair growth of the goyim was that it was matted at the bottom, ufrudais milmala, and then it hung separately as you went further away from the scalp. So too, the beginning of the tzitzis is braided, it's knotted together, and then comes the hanging loose part. So when you make it, you have to make it similar to the blurius of a goy, of an armoy. However, Tosfos, earlier on Daf Lamed Testament Beis, Divrei HaMashgal Oy, he explains that it's not referring to when you make the tzitzis, but rather Abaya means that the Lashna Taisvis, the La'achar Asiyos and Tzarech Lifrid. After you make the tzitzis, you have to separate. There, and this is not just at the time of making it, but this is constantly the tzitzis which have a tendency to get knotted together have to be in the anaf part, in the hanging part, have to be separated. As the Mishnah Berurah brings in Simen Ches, Sifkot Yud Ches, in the name of the Ari, that the word tzitzis, spelled Tzadik Yud, Tzadik Tov, in fact stands for four words. It's an acronym for Tzadik Yafrid Tzitziyosov Tamid. The Tzadik will constantly be aware to separate his tzitzis all the time. That's how Tosfos learns the meaning in Abaye here. Tana Rabbanan, we learned number ice. Hitul ala keren. If you put the tzitzis on the tip of the corner, he didn't put it in the middle of the three etzbois from the corner, but right at the corner. Oy al hagedil. Or he put it on the gedil. Rashi explains, what is gedil? This is in Divrei HaMaskil Gedil, at the end of the first small line, Chut Ava V'Chazak V'Beget Chila Kidei Shaloi Einoyach Likra. He makes a thick thread, he sews around the edge of the garment, so that it doesn't tear easily. It has a hem around the garment, and he sticks the tzitzis in that Gedil. The halacha is, Shera. Rashi also says a second shot, that if the warp thread that sticks out beyond the woof, we have Shesi ve'erev. The Shesi is the warp thread, that's the long thread that goes vertical, and erev is the woof thread that goes horizontal. So sometimes you have where the warp thread will stick out beyond the woof thread. So if he attached the tzitzis to that warp thread that is vertically hanging down past the woof thread, the halacha is kshera. According to the Tanakhama, it's kosher. However, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov and the Shita takes out, and Oystalid takes out the word oimer, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov, poisel b'shteyan. He posels both of them because he says that in both cases of Karen and Gedil, it's not al kanfei bigdayem, but rather it's tachas kanfei bigdayem. It has to be on the corner of the garment and not at the bottom of the corner of the garment. And that's why he puzzles both of these cases. Ask the Gemara, Kamana Azla, who's it going like? Hod the Amr of Gedil Amar Rav, that which Rav Gedil said in the name of Rav, tzitzis tricha, shetehe noi tefes. Tzitzis have to droop down a la Karen on the corner of the garment. And that means, says Rashi, shetehe toila umaka ala karen. In other words, it has to be not on the corner, but has to be lifted up inside the corner of the baguette, so that when it now droops over, the tzitzis will bang against the corner. How do I know that? Shenemar al kanfei bigdayim. It has to be on the corner of your baguette, as we said before, and not tachas your the corner of your garment. Keman, who's this going like Rav Lezer ben Yaakov? That's going according to Rav Lezer ben Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Yaakov. Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'tzorach sheyarchik moli kesher goydel. We learned at the beginning of today's shir, we reiterated what Rav Papa said the halacha is, that it has to be b'toich sholosh. It has to be within three etzbois from the end of the garment. Now Rabbi Yaakov, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, gives us a similar description of where it has to be put on the corner of the garment. It has to be tzorach sheyarchik mole kesher goydel. It has to be away from the edge of the garment, the full length of the thumb joint, which is from the tip of the nail where it separates from the flesh until the first knuckle, which is less than three etzbois. So now the Gemara wants to know, why do you need Rav Papa and why do you need Rav Yaakov? Rav Papa also said you can't go more than three etzbois, so it has to be less. And Rabbi Yaakov is also telling us Maloi Kesher Gadol, which is less than three tzpois. Why do you need both? So the Gemara says Ve'itzich to Rapapa, Ve'itzich to Rabbi Yaakov. Deimit Rapapa, if you would just know from Rapapa, Hava Min, I would have thought Toich Gimel. When he said Toich Gimel, he just meant to say the maximum. D'loi Lirchak Tvei, you shouldn't go beyond three. But V'kama D'makarv Mali, as close as you can get to the edge of the corner. Okay, let's say like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said before, you can't do it tachas, can't be on the tip of the corner. It can't be on the thick thread, the gedil that's around. Granted, but the closer I can get to the edge, that's mali, it's even better. So therefore, it's the Rabbi Yaakov, no, that you cannot get too close to the edge. You have to be at least from the tip of the nail to the first knuckle. The imid of Rabbi Yaakov, if you would just know the halach of Rabbi Yaakov, havam, and I would have thought, maloi kesher gadol, delikar of tvei. He's telling you the amount of the shear of kesher gadol from the edge. You shouldn't get too close to the edge. But v'kama derachik mali. But the, as far away from the edge as you can get, maybe even more than three etzbois, I would have thought that that's mali. That is recommended. Tzricho. Therefore, I need both. In other words, I get from both Rapapa and Rabbi Yaakov the parameters of exactly where I have to put it. I can't put it too close. I have to at least, from the edge, be away the kesher goydel. It has to be the full length of the thumb joint, from the tip of the nail to the first knuckle. And then I can't go too far, more than three etzbois. I have to be in between. There's a little space in between those two. That's the ideal space where you're supposed to put the tzitzis, where the hole has to go in which you place the tzitzis. Ravina, Rav Sama, have a yasvi kameda Rav Ashi. They were sitting in front of Rav Ashi. Chazi, Rav Sama saw lekarne, that the hole that was in the corner of the garment, the glimed Ravina, of the garment of Ravina, this susser, it was torn. Ubotzer mimole kesher gadol. And it happens very often when the garment rips, the tzitzis were now within that area of the length of the thumb joint. They were close to the edge of the garment. You didn't have the correct shear there. Amarle. So Rav Sama said to Rav Ashi, to Ravina, Amale, Loisavala Mar, Lahada Rabbi Yaakov, don't you hold of the din of Rabbi Yaakov who said that it has to be at least a kesher goydel away from the edge? Amale, so Ravina responded to Rav Sama, Bishas Asiya Itmar, when did Rabbi Yaakov say that halacha? That's at the time when it's being made. But after it was made, even if it rips, it's okay. Ichsiv, so Rav Sama got embarrassed because Ravina bested him. Ravina told him that he was wrong. Amarle Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi saw that Rav Sama got embarrassed. He consoled him and said to him, Loi taskif loch, don't be disturbed that Ravina won this argument with you, because we know that chad minayu ketrei minon, one person from Eretz Yisrael, as Rashi tells us that Ravina was from Eretz Yisrael, ketrei minon. They are such great talmidei chacham, they're like two of ours, as the Rabbeinu Gershom brings down, three lines from the bottom of the Amid, da'avira de'Eretz Yisrael machim, because we know the Gemara Bava Basra, of Kufnun Chesam Abbas, tells us that the air of Eretz Yisrael makes a person smart, and therefore they are sharper than us, and that's why he won this Torah debate. Continues the Gemara, Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Rami Arba. So the Gemara now is going to tell us how various Amoroyim attach the tzitzis to the garment, to the talus. Rav Acha bar Yaakov put in four in the hole, but v'ayif lehu meyaf, he first folded the four, before he put it into the hole, he folded the four into eight, and he put the eight, uma'ailu beglima, he would put the eight into the hole in the corner of the garment, va'aviklu mevek, and what he did is, he took the threads, and he looped them through, he threaded them through a loop that he had formed by the eight that were through the hole, and he made a slip knot, and that's how he attached the tzitzis to the garment. Tysus, in the top Tysus, Divrei Maaskel V'Avik, says that he did this only with seven, because with one of them, he made sure to leave it out, and then attach it so that there should be a knot. Otherwise, it would not be attached to the beged with a proper kesher, with a proper knot. That's how Tosfos learns. So, but his idea was, kasavar be'inan tamya beglima. You need to put all eight, not the way we do it. We don't paskin like Rav Acha bar Yaakov. We put four through the hole, and then it doubles over, it becomes eight. But according to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, you first have to double it over and put all eight. Why? Because all eight have to be affixed, attached to the garment. In order that you will be able to fulfill that, the Torah says you should put gedilim, and that has to be b'makom psil, which means in the place where the tzitzis are threaded through the beged. That's the hole in the corner. At that spot, it has to already be threaded through as eight. Not that it becomes eight after you put the four through the hole and then they double over to become eight. No. When it goes through the hole, when it's affixed to the garment, it already has to have eight. Because how do we know you need eight? So we've learned before that gedil is a braided item. If it's braided, you can't braid with one. You can only braid with two. So gedil by its very definition, is plural, that you're using two chutim, two threads. And now the Torah said a lashon rabim gedilim, so it means whatever gedil means, you have to do double. If gedil means two, then gedilim means four. And those four themselves have to be doubled over. That's how you get eight. Rav Yirmiyah midifti rami tamnya de'inu shitzer, but v'loy avik lehu. He did not make a slip knot, but instead of only putting in four, he put in eight through the hole. We put in four, which doubles over to eight. He put in eight, which doubles over to 16. And what was his reason? Rashi explains, because he said that gedilim could be spelled gimel dalet lamed mem. And instead, gedilim is spelled with a yud, gimel dalet lamed yud mem. So that yud means a ribui. And it's telling you that the word gedilim is now doubled. So if gedilim means four, as we explained, because gedil is two, so gedilim lashon rabim is four, and gedilim could have been spelled without a yud, so now that it's spelled with a yud, it means double what you've had till now, which is four, now you have eight. So he would put in eight, not make the slip knot lie. He didn't agree that you have to, at the place of tying it, you have to, b'makom psil, you have to thread through all eight, but rather all 16. You only have to put through eight and then fold it over so that it becomes 16. But his shita was that, not like us, that we put in four, which doubles over to eight. His shita was you put in eight, which doubles over to 16. But he didn't hold like Rav Acha bar Yaakov that you have to put all 16 through the hole to begin with and make a slip knot. That he didn't do. Marbereid Ravina did like halacha lemaisa, like we do, as Rashi explains. Machnis dalet chutn va'achakach kaiflum lishmaina. You put in four through the hole. You don't make a slip knot, and then it doubles over to be eight, and then you make a knot at the bottom of the corner. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nachman Ashkel Rav Adabar Ava. Rav Nachman found Rav Adar Bar Ava that Rami Chuti, he was putting in Chutim into a beged. He was putting the tzitzis in, v'kav mevorech, and he was making a brach at the time that he formed the tzitzis in the talus. Lasis tzitzis. He made a bracha, asher kitshan, so I just want to lasis tzitzis. So when Rav Nachman heard this, Amar Lei, he said to Rav Adabar Ava, my tzitzi shamana. What is, Rashi says, ligleg, he was mocking him. What's this tzitzi noise that I hear? Hachi Amar Rav. Rav said, tzitzis, ein tzricha bracha. That tzitzis, when you make them, when you put it on, of course it needs a bracha. But when you make the tzitzis, you don't have to make a bracha. So this was the shita of Rav Nachman. Kinach nafshei de Rav Huna. When Rav Huna was nifter, all Rav Chizda got up, lemirma de Rav at a Rav, to ask a stira, a contradiction of Rav on Rav. So the Meforshim tell us that it would seem that this happened when Rav Chizda took over being the Rosh Yeshiva of the great Yeshiva of Sura. He became the Rosh Yeshiva after the Patira of Rav Huna. And it seems like his first drasha that he said, the first shir that he gave, was in this inyan. So all Rav Chizda got up in front of the base of Medrash, lemirma, and he asked the steer the Rav at a Rav. And what this means is, as we'll see on Amud Beis, the Gemara says that he was arguing on Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said in the name of Rav that tzitzis do not require bracha when you make the tzitzis. And Rav Chizda says, I can prove from something else that Rav said that Rav could never have said that you don't have to make a bracha on tzitzis when you make it. You do have to make a bracha on tzitzis. I'll prove it to you. Umi amar Rav, tzitzis ein tzarech bracha. Did Rav say, like you said, Rav Nachman, that tzitzis don't need a bracha? I'll prove you that Rav said it does need a bracha. Why? V'amar Rav, you know amar Rav. Rav Yudah said the name of Rav. Menayel tzitzis boi v'chav v'shib sula. How do I know tzitzis of a goy? That it's possible if he makes it, shenemar. Because the pasuk says concerning tzitzis, daber al b'nei Yisrael v'asulem tzitzis. And we learn out from that, b'nei Yisrael yasu, the b'nei Yisrael should make the tzitzis, v'loi v'chav yasu. And a goy should not make the tzitzis. That's his question. A goy is possible. Ask the Gemara, v'amai rumya. What's the question? What does one thing have to do with the other? It could be a goy's posel for tzitzis, but it could be that Rav Nachman's correct in the name of Rav that you don't make a bracha. A Jew, a yid, when he puts the tzitzis on, does not make a bracha. What does one thing have to do with the other? Amar Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef said, no, there's a linkage here. That's what Rav Chizda is trying to say. Ksav Rav Chizda holds there's a linkage. Kol mitzvah she k'shei rabbi v'chavim, every mitzvah that's kosher, if a goy does it, be Yisrael, ein tzarech levarach. Then a yid, when he puts that, when he does that mitzvah, he doesn't have to make a bracha. But kol mitzvah shepsula by v'kachavim. But every mitzvah that's possible if a goy does it, be Yisrael, tzarech levarach. By Yisrael, he would have to make a bracha when he makes the mitzvah. And Rashi, here we have Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Why? If a mitzvah is kosher by a goy doing it, a Yisrael would not make a bracha. So Rashi says, "Ein yachaloyim asher kirishanu." He can't say that Hashem commanded me because Oivik Chavim is also kosher, and he says that mipi amora. That's what his teacher taught him is the pshat. However, Tosfos here in Divrei HaMaskil Yisrael Ein Tzarech Levarach says that mashmatzivanu v'loy lacherim. It's not on the Asher Kedishanu that Rashi focuses on, but Asher Kedishanu Mitzvah Vitzivanu. He commanded us, he didn't command anybody else. If a goy is kosher, then you can't say Vitzivanu. So that's why there's a link here between the kashrus and the paslus of a goy to do a mitzvah, and whether Yisrael will make a bracha in that mitzvah. That's what Rav Yosef says is the pshat in Rav Chizda. So therefore, since Rav Chizda said in the name of Rav that a goy is possible to make tzitzis, that proves that a Yisrael would have to make a bracha. So Rav Chizda says, I challenge you, Rav Nachman. You said in the name of Rav that Rav holds that a goy does not have, that tzitzis ain't tzricha bracha. I just proved to you, if there is this linkage, that a Yisrael has to make a bracha when a goy is possible for a mitzvah like tzitzis. So now the Gemara challenges. We're going to have to understand how Rav Nachman will answer Rav Chizda's kasha. We'll see that as the Gemara progresses. But the Gemara at this point, right away, challenges this klal that Rav Yosef said. The klalahu, is that a klal that if that the bracha of a yid is dependent on the kashrus or paslus of a goy? Vare mila, let's take mila. Diksheir by v'chavim. If a goy makes mila, it's according to this mandiyomar, he holds that it's kosher. And if it's kosher, you will not require hatafas dambris to make an incision to let out some blood after the goy made the mila, a yid would not be required. We pass an halacha that if a goy did the mila, it would be required to make hatafas dambris. But according to this mandiyomar, who holds mila ksheru by b'chavim, the sanya, we learned in the brisa, irshein by Rav Yisrael, a city that doesn't have a Jewish doctor, which Rashi says the word raifa here means moil. It doesn't have a moil to do mila, a Jewish moil. Shein bar raifa Yisrael, the yesh bar raifa moy, but it has a Gentile moil, or it has veraifa kusi. It has a doctor who is a kusi. Now we've had many times in Shas the kusiim. Who were they? The kusiim were brought by Sancheriv HaMelech from where they lived in Kus, and they settled in Eretz Yisrael, in those parts where the Aser Seshvatim went into Golis. And that area was the Shomron, and that's why the Kusim were also called the Shomronim. And they became Gerim. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Kedushan Daf Ayin Heyam and Beis that they were attacked by lions, and they understood they're being attacked by lions because they're not serving Hashem, and that's why they decided to become Ger. There's a machloikis there in Gemara in Kedushan Ayin Heyam and Beis whether Kusim are Gerei Emes, they made a real honest conversion, or they're Gerei Arroyes. They only converted because of the attack of the lions, but they really sincerely did not become Gerim. But subsequently, it was found out that they, in fact, continued to serve a Yonah, a dove, an image of a dove that was found on Har Gerizim, that they served Avodah Zorah. So our Gemara here is going according to the Shita that they were Geriemis. So they are real Yidden, but even though they're considered Jews, we're worried that anything they do is done for the Avodah Zarah. So now you have a question. You don't have a Jewish doctor, Jewish moel to make the mila. Should you take the Gentile or should you take the kusi? So according to the first sheet that we have here of Rav Meir, yimul armoy, let the goy make the mila, v'al yimul kusi. The kusi should not make the mila, because we're afraid that he's going to have in mind l'shem avodah zarah. Divrei Rav Meir. This is sheet of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda says kusi v'larmoy. He says the opposite. Let the kusi make it, not the armoy. We're afraid that a goy will hurt the child when he does it. He'll kill the child when he does it, and therefore we don't want a goy to do it. We let the kusi do it. And in fact, the Gemara in avodah zarah daf chaf vav amid beis has questions, and as a result of those questions, the Gemara there is Mahapech, changes the names and what they believed in. In other words, that it is Rav Yehuda who's of the opinion that a goy should do the mila and not the kusi, and it is Rav Meir who holds that a kusi should do it and not a goy. But even according to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah that it's Rav Meir holds not a goy, but b'dieved, if the goy did it, even according to Rav Meir, it would be considered a good mila, and you would not need a hatafas dambris. It's only that Rav Meir holds it's preferable that a kusi does it. So we've established, according both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, that a goy would be kosher for mila, and yet, even though a goy is kosher, it would be Yisrael tzarech levarach, according to your linkage, that whenever a goy is kosher, the yid will not make a bracha. Here, according to Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, a yid is kosher, a goy is kosher to make mila, and yet the Jew has to make the bracha. The Amar Mar, we have learned, ha mol, the one who does the mila, oimer, baruch asher kedushanam, soisitzvanam, ala mila. So you see that your linkage theory, Rav Yosef, is not correct. So the Gemara answers, that's not difficult. Why? Midi hu taima elo l'rav. Who is Rav Chizda asking on Rav Nachman? that I'll prove you that Rav holds you have to make a bracha because a goy is possible to make tzitzis. Therefore, you have to make a bracha. So if the kasha is only based on Rav, that Rav held that you have to make a bracha, Rav mifsal posel. Rav, in fact, holds that a goy, and that's how we paskin, that a goy is posel to do a bris mila. De itmar, we've learned. Menayin lamila by v'kham shvula. How do we know that mila by a goy is posel? So we have two sources. Dor bar papa mishmeda Rav. This is Rav Shita Omar. It says in the Torah by Hashem set Avram Avinu in Bereshis Yud Zayin Pasuk Tes Vayomer Elokim El Avram Va'ata Es Brisi Tishmor Ata V'Zaracha Achrecha L'Doy Raisam. You Avram and all your descendants forever should keep the Bris Mila. And it would seem that everyone who's like Avram, everyone who had himself a Bris Mila, he's the one that is allowed to do a bris to someone else. Rabbi Yochanan learns it from a different pasuk. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it says the ksiv is himol yimol, but the kri would be hamol yimol. Rashi says kri be hamol yimol. The one who himself has mila on his own body, he's the one that can make mila to someone else. So Mimela, Rav holds that a goy is posel for Mila. So now Rav Chisda says, I can make the linkage. I could say, you know why a yid has to make a bracha? Because a goy is posel. When a goy is posel, then you could say, Asher kiddushanu b'mitzvois avitzivanu. And if so, I have a question. Since a goy is posel to make tzitzis, therefore, Rav Shita would be, according to my linkage theory, that you would make a bracha. So I have a kasha on Rav Nachman who said that Rav said that you don't make a bracha on the asiya of tzitzis. Now the Gemara says, Sukkah Messiah, lay tefillin havetiyufta. On this theory of Rabbi Yosef, we have a raya from Sukkah and we are going to have a tiyufta. We're going to shlug up this theory from Tefillin. Now Rashi says it's a Messiah Yehilei L'Rab Chizda. And really, what Rashi means is, it will prove Rav Chizda according to the interpretation of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef came up with the linkage theory, so I can bring a proof to that from Sukkah. Later we're going to see that the Gemara is going to interpret the words of Rav Chisda differently. And there is no linkage theory between the paslus and kashrus of a goy to do a mitzvah and the fact that a yid has to make a bracha. But at this point, the Gemara says, I have a proof to Rav Chisda the way Rav Yosef interpreted him from Sukkah. I have a tiyufta from Tefillin. What's the proof from Sukkah? Are we Sukkah? Diksheir by Vikov. Sukkah is kosher by a goy, desanya, for we have learned. Now, even though the making of a sukkah, is, we would understand, is not a mitzvah, but it's a hechsher mitzvah, but the Meforshim explained that since the Torah says, Chag HaSukkah is ta'aselucha, that you should make it, so we say that the making of a sukkah itself is part of the mitzvah, and yet we're saying that a goy is permitted to make the sukkah. The sanya we learned, sukkah of a chum, the sukkah of a goy, that he used a hut for his vacation purposes, sukkah snashim, or a hut made for women where they could weave. Women are potter on the mitzvah of sukkah, it's a mitzvah station as man grama, so a sukkah that was made for them for weaving is not l'shem sukkah, or sukkah's behema, the sukkah of a behema, or sukkah's kusim, or the sukkah of a kusi, or sukkah mikol makom, or any other inferior sukkah, which Rashi says in the last line of Rashi on the Amid that the Gemara in Sukkahs tells us exactly what that refers to. All these inferior sukkahs, ksheira, they're still kosher. Ubavach shedei mesuchachas kelos, as long as the schach is proper, and it was made for shade, and it's It's not made just to for privacy reasons, but it's made for tzeil, for shade, and it has enough tzeil. Tzilsi is more than the chamasa. The shaded part is more than the part that's not shaded. If it has all the halachas of proper schach, then even though the goy made the sukkah, it is kosher. Ubi Yisrael ain't sarach levar. So this is a very good raya to the yisoid of Rabbi Yosef, that if a goy can make it, then the din is that Yisrael does not make a bracha. The sign we learned in the braya. So oisa sukkah la'atzma, if somebody makes a sukkah for himself, then oimer baruch atah Hashem l'kenem el-choylam shechi yanu v'kimanu v'giyanu l'azman azeh. He has to make it for himself, not for somebody else. Then if he made it for somebody else, he would not make a shechi yanu. And although we make a shechi yanu also, but we wait until we actually sit in the sukkah, and that covers the making, the shechi yanu for the making of the sukkah as well. But the Gemara here is saying that even at the time of making it, one would make the shechi yanu. Bo leishiv bo, he comes to sit in the sukkah. Oimer, he says, Baruch atah Hashem l'kenem el-choylam, asher kirishanu m'tzoysav v'tzivanu leishiv basukkah, to sit in the sukkah. The ilu lasei sukkah loy mevarach, he does not make a bracha to make the sukkah. So your linkage theory in sukkah is borne out, because since a goy is mutter to make the sukkah, so therefore, as the Hamik Shal explains, it says tasalacha. So if there is part of the mitzvah to make the sukkah. So if not for the fact that a goy would be kosher to make the sukkah, so then the Yisrael would have to make a bracha on the making of a sukkah. The reason why a Yisrael does not have to make a bracha on making the sukkah is your linkage svar, that since a goy is kosher to make it, therefore a yid does not have to make the bracha. So I have a beautiful riot to the svar of Rabbi Yosef. But tefillin to yuft, I have a stira, I have a kasha with no answer from tefillin. We see your theory is incorrect. Why? Vare tefillin, the psulas by become tefillin, if a goy would write the parsha of tefillin, it's possible, the tani rab chinen abere, the rab has returned to daf mem beis amid beis. Mi pisharnia, mi pachranya, he was from this place, Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, Shekosvim Tzeduki, that if the following people who are either not chayiv in the mitzvah or they don't believe in the mitzvah, if they write a Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzah, so the din is that cloth, that parchment is posel. And who are these people at Tzeduki, the followers, the Tzedukim of Tzadik and Baisis, who were apikarsim, they didn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh, or a Kusi, or an Ovid Kechavim, who serves Avodah Zarah, he's not mitzvah in the mitzvah, or an Eved, or an Isha. An Isha is potter from Sukkah to Mitzvah Station Mangram, and an Eved Kanani is chayiv in those mitzvahs that a woman is chayiv in. If a woman is potter, an Eved is potter. V'katna, katan is also potter. And Mummer, who doesn't believe in the mitzvah, as the Rambam says, not only have to be chayiv in the mitzvah, you have to believe in the mitzvah in order to do the mitzvah. All these cases, Psulim Shinemar, Ukshartim, Uksaftim, it says by tefillin you should attach, make a knot on top of your arm, uksaftim, and you should write mezuzahs. So I learn out, call sheyeshna b'kshira, whoever is obligated in the mitzvah of tefillin, yeshna b'ksiva, is also able to write mezuzahs, even though the pasuk is speaking about mezuzahs, but we learn out also that it refers to tefillin and sefer Torah as well. Kol she'ena b'kshira, whoever's not chayving shira, ena b'ksiva. So all these are posel. So that means a goy, an oivik chavim, is posel. He's not chayving shira, so he's not able to write sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzahs. According to your linkage theory, what should be the din by Yisrael if a goy is posel? The din should be that Yisrael, if he wrote the parshiyos of tefillin, he should have to make the bracha for making tefillin. Ubi Yisrael ain't sarach levarach. By Yisrael, your theory doesn't work, because Yisrael does not have to make a bracha. The shalach rav chiyah b'reid, rav hunna mishmeid, rav yoichanan, al tefillin, shayad, oim baruch asher kirishanam, tzayisvizvon al niach tefillin. That's the bracha when you put it on. Al tefillin, shal roish, oim baruch asher kirishanam, tzayisvizvon al mitzvah tefillin. Ve'ilu lasay tefillin, loim avarach. and you do not make a bracha at the time of writing the tefillin, making the tefillin, you don't make any bracha. According to your linkage theory, if a goy is pasul, then the yud should have made the bracha. Ella, your theory is disproven, Rabbi Yosef. Ella, I'm going to give you a whole new pshat in Rabbi Chisda. Elav haina taima. This is the rule. Kol mitzvah, that's the asa gemar mitzvah, kegoin mila, if the mitzvah is the completion of the mitzvah, like mila, so then, afak av dikshere by v'chavim, be yisrael tzarech levarach. Then even if, according to those shittas who hold that a yid, a goy, is kosher to make mila, it will not be a linkage that if he's kosher to make mila, the Yisrael doesn't make a bracha. Even if the goy is kosher for mila, still the Yisrael would make a bracha because it's a gemar mitzvah, it's a completion. If it's a completion of the mitzvah, then a goy is not allowed to. If it's a hechsher mitzvah, it's a preparation for a mitzvah, then a goy would be kosher to do it, and then Yisrael would not make a bracha. But if it's a gemar mitzvah, then even if a goy is kosher, doesn't matter, the Yisrael has to make the bracha. But v'chol mitzvah, that's the yasa, lav gemar mitzvah, any mitzvah, where, for example, by tefillin, the writing is not the end. As Rashi says on the second line here, tefillin, asiyasin loizui gemar mitzvasim achi kasher. He has to affix them. He has to make a knot on his biceps, he has to put on the tefillin shel yad. That's the end of the mitzvah. So it comes out writing the parshias of tefillin is not the gemar mitzvah. Kegoin tefillin, afek of the psulis by v'chavim. Even though if a goy cannot write it, be yisrael ein etzarech levarach, he doesn't have to make the bracha. So this is the linkage. There's a linkage between a gemar mitzvah and a bracha. If the mitzvah is completed, then a yisrael makes a bracha. And regardless whether the goy is pasul or kosher, if the mitzvah is not completed, regardless of whether the goy is kosher or not, then the Yisrael does not make a bracha. Now, what was the shaila on Amud Aleph between Rab Nachman and Rab Chisda concerning tzitzis? Ubitzitzis got b'haka miflugi. And here we see clearly that there's a machloikis, Rab Nachman and Rab Chisda. Rab Nachman says tzitzis ain't tzarech levarach. Rab Chisda said, if so, I'll ask you a steer from Rav Arav, meaning that Rab Chisda was challenging Rab Nachman and saying that I believe that Rav never said ain't tzarech levarach. I hold that Rav said tzarech levarach. What's the machlokes whether tzarech levarach based on this new theory that it's tali in gemar mitzvah or not? The answer is mar sover chayvus talis. We've had this machlokes before. Is tzitzis a chayva of the talis or is it a chayva of the gavra? If you have tzitzis talis lying in a drawer, do you have to have tzitzis on them or not? If it's a chayva of the talis, you do. If it's a chayva of the gavra when he puts it on, then you don't. So Rav Chisda, Rashi explains, holds that it's a chayvus talis. So that's the completion of the mitzvah. If it's the completion of the mitzvah, then when you affix it to the talis, you have to make a bracha according to the sheet of Rav Chisda. Umar Sav, Rav Nachman, who holds tzitzis, your potter when you make the tzitzis, he holds chayvus gavru. So therefore, it's not the completion of the mitzvah when you put the tzitzis on the beged, then you don't have to make a bracha. The only problem that we have to now explain, which the Rajbo asks, a very obvious question, we have now a very nice klal, but how do we explain the words of Rav Chisda? We shlugged up Rabbi Yosef's explanation of Rav Chisda, but Rav Chisda said a question. On Rav, what's the question? Steerer, you're telling me that Rav said that on tzitzis you don't make a bracha when you make the tzitzis, and I'll show you that he must have said you do make a bracha. Why? Because a goy is pasul. So, but you told me there's no linkage between a goy being pasul and making a bracha by a Jew. How do we explain that, which Rabbi Yosef makes the linkage? And you're telling me there is no linkage. You're bringing me a raya from tefillin. There is no linkage. So what did Rav Chisda mean in that statement? On this, the Rashba says a beautiful pshat. And the Rashba says that normally on a hechsher mitzvah, for example, making a sukkah, that, of course, a goy would be kosher. It's not the mitzvah itself. It's only a hechsher mitzvah. Tefillin, writing tefillin, why is possible, even though it's only a hechsher mitzvah? Because the writing the parchments, you're dealing with guf hakedusha. The parchments are the very essence of kedusha of the tefillin. the parchment that lies in the mezuzah or in the tefillin or on the Sefer Torah. That's the Guf HaKedusha. So that, although it's only preparation for the mitzvah, but that a goy can't do. Now the question is, by tzitzis, affixing it, we would think, is only the preparation of the mitzvah. If it's only the preparation of the mitzvah, why should it be different than sukkah, that a goy could do it? Why would you say that it is puzzle? Why does Rav hold that a goy cannot put on tzitzis? So it must be, Rav Chisda understood from that, because putting the tzitzis on is a chayvus talus. That's the end of the mitzvah. If it's the end of the mitzvah, then it must be that you make a bracha. The din is you make a bracha on the end of a mitzvah. How do I know it's the end of a mitzvah? Because otherwise, why would a goy be possible? A goy can always do a hechsher mitzvah like sukkah. Tefillin is different because it's good for kedusha. Why shouldn't he be able to fix it that sits his onto the beged? So it must be because it's not the hechsher mitzvah by tzitzis, it's the end mitzvah because it's chayvus talis. So Rav Chisda is trying to say, I'll bring you a proof that it's chayvus talis from the fact that a goy is posel. And if it's chayvus talis, it's a gemar mitzvah. It's a gemar mitzvah. Then you have to make a bracha. However, Rav Nachman holds that it's not the end of the mitzvah. Rav Nachman holds, because it's chayvus gavra. If it's chayvus gavra, then you don't have to make a bracha when you affix the tzitzis to the talis. Omer le Rav Mordechai le Rav Ashi, atun hachem es nisla. You learned this whole din based on what you said in Rav, that Rav holds that a goy cannot affix tzitzis. Anan hachim asnin law. We learned differently. Am Rabbi Yudah, Rav. Rabbi Yudah said the name of Rav. Menayin l'tzitzis by Bukhav Shek Sheira. How do I know tzitzis by a goy is in fact kosher for him to put it on? Shinemar, Dabar el b'nei Yisrael v'asulam tzitzis. They should make for them. And we darshan, what does it mean? They should make for them. Yasulam acherim, that others should make the tzitzis for them. And that in fact, a goy is kosher to put on tzitzis. So now, if a goy is kosher to put on tzitzis, so what does that prove? That proves that it's not a completed mitzvah. It's chayvus gavra. And then we would understand Rav Nachman, why Rav Nachman says that you don't make a bracha. So it would come out that the machloikas Rav Nachman or Rav Chisda, whether you make a bracha or not, would be tolly, is a goy possible to make tzitzis, which would prove that it's the end of the mitzvah, that's why the goy is possible, and therefore Rav Chisda holds that you have to make a bracha. Because any end mitzvah, a Jew has to make a bracha. However, we can now understand Rav Nachman, who holds that Rav Shita is that on tzitzis you don't make a bracha, because he holds that Rav held that a goy is kosher to make tzitzis. Why? Because it's like sukkah, the way we learned in the Rajba, it's like sukkah, it's only a hechsher mitzvah. If it's only a hechsher mitzvah, a goy is kosher. If it's not the end mitzvah, it's only a hechsher mitzvah, then a yid does not make a bracha. That's why Rav Nachman held that a yid would not make a bracha. So the machloikis of making a bracha or not is tali, whether it's chayvus gavra or chayvus talis. And we paskin that a goy is possible to make tzitzis. So it would come out that if it's possible to make tzitzis, the way Rashi here learns this sugya, because other Rishonim learn differently, but going with Shita's Rashi, would come out that if we paskin that a goy is possible to make tzitzis, it would also indicate, according to the way we were masber with the Rajba, that it is the end mitzvah because it's chayvus talis and not chayvus gavra. Continues the Gemara, Amar Yudah Marav, Osim and Akaitzim. If he made tzitzis from the kaitzim, these are threads that break during the weaving process, and they are tied together with a knot, and then when the garment is finished, they stick out from the material as a thorn. So if this was near the bottom of a garment, and there was thread that was sticking out. So the halacha is that one is possible to use those threads for tzitzis. And we'll see soon, a machloikis Rashi and Tosfos in the name of Pirush HaKuntres of what the psul is. But let us see the various items that could be used. Osman HaKaitzim, Umin HaNimin. Nimin is somebody made a hem or embroidery and had tzitzis that had threads that were sticking out, and he wants to use them for the tzitzis. Or Min HaGarden, these are a fringe from the woof, the erev, the horizontal threads that are sticking down. Psula, if he uses them, they're pusul. So here Rashi says the psul is they were not done lishma, l'shem tzitzis. And Tosfos brings in Divrei Maskal HaKaitzim, Pirush Bekuntres, he brings that the reason is because of Tasa v'loy mina asri, that when you want to use it for the tzitzis, they are already on the garment, they have been woven onto the garment already before, and therefore there's a psul of Tasa v'loy mina asri. However, continues the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Rav, minasisim ksher, but if you have balls of thread, even though they were not spun l'shem mitzvah tzitzis, they are kosher. But kamrita kamei Shmuel, when I said this in front of Shmuel, amar afman asisim psulim, from the season they're also possible. Why? Be'in and tefil l'shma, because we need that the spinning should also be l'shma. Says the Gemara, kitanoi, let us say that this machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, whether the tefiya, the spinning of the threads, has to also be lishma or not. Is machlokes tanoi concerning tefillin, we learned, tzipan zov, if he put, instead of leather, he put the case out of gold. Oi, and here, either he, there's two pshatim, either he, instead of leather, he used gold, or on top of the leather, he put a casing of gold. Oi, shetol alein or behemet mea, or he used the skin of a treif animal, the halach is, psulois, these tefillin are possible. What's the reason by or behemet mea? So Rashi says, from the Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Chesam Ra'alf, because it says concerning tefillin, leman tia tairus Hashem, beficha, that Hashem's Torah should be in your mouth, so you can only use something min hamutter beficha, something that is kosher for you to eat. What about or behema tahira kisheris? If you used a kosher animal for tefillin, it's kosher. Afal pishlai ibn lishman, even though it was not worked on the leather l'shem mitzvah tefillin. However, b'shem gamliel, Amir af or behemet har psulis ad she avdin lishman, that the or of a behemet may is also possible until you do the ibn lishman. So the Gemara wants to say that the machloek is Ravu Shmuel concerning tefia whether you need lishman or not will be the same as over here, according to the Tanakama. If you didn't have Ibud Lishma, it's kosher. That's what Rav will hold. You don't need Tefil Lishma. And Shmuel will hold Rav Shimon Gamliel, just like he holds that you need Ibud Lishma for the Tefillin. So too, you need Tefil Lishma. Tosfos in Divrei Maskil Tanoi says, how can you compare one din to the other? Because by tzitzis, there's a special pasuk, Gedilim Tas L'chol L'shem Chayvach, that you have to do it Lishma. However, we don't have a similar pasuk by Tefillin, so it could be that even Shmuel, who holds that you need tefil lishma, he might hold by tefillin, you do not need ibud lishma. And Ayin and the Rishonim, the Rajba, and other Rishonim who give various truths into this kasha of Tosfos. Continues the Gemara, Amalei Abayi Rav Shmuel Bar Rav Yehuda, ha techilta hechetzavitu la, how exactly do you get the tcheles to dye the tzitzis? So he answered, am I seen in Dam Chalazin? We bring the Dam of Chalazin. Exactly what the Chalazin was, what kind of marine creature this was. Ayin at the top of Daf Memdalid Omid Aleph. So you bring the blood of this Chalazin, Visamonin, and herbs, V'raminin Lubiyar. We put it in a pot. The Gemara doesn't say which herbs. The Rambam tells us that any herbs that are capable of making sure that the dye of the tcheles catches on to the tzitzis are acceptable. You put this all in a pot, umar sechinale, you boil it up, v'shaklina purta bibeyu, so you take a little part of an eggshell, and you put the dye in the eggshell, v'tamina lehu, and then we make a test, Beudra with a wad of wool, and afterwards, Shadina Leilahu Biusa, we spill out any remnants of the dye that's in the of the tchelis that's in the eggshell, and as we don't put it back into the pot, because that would possibly, as the Gemara is going to tell us, the whole pot once it was used for this test, and also the kalina we lay lodge, we also burn the wad of wool. Shema minot plus from these halachas that we just learned, we learned out three dinim. Shema minot imipsula. We learned out that a test is possible from the fact that you're not allowed to use the wool that was dyed in the test to use that for real tchelis. So we see that a test is possible to be used for tchelis, for the tzitzis. Ushma mino, we also learned to be in tzvi lishma, that you need to dye lishma. If you're doing it for a test, it's not l'shem, the mitzvah of tchelis for the tzitzis. The Gemara is going to ask soon that it seems that these two halachas are one and the same. You know why te'ima test is possible? Because you need tefillah shema. We'll see that in a moment. Ushma, we know we learn out a third din. Te'ima pasla. Now, when you make a test and then you want to use that dye that had been used for the test, you want to use it again, that will pasl the whole pot if it would have been put back in the pot. That's why the din is. You have to spill it out and not put it back in the pot. Ask the Gemara first. Haina te'ima psula, haina tzvi lishma. As we mentioned before, these first two halachas seem to be exactly the same. Amar Ravashi ma tam komar. You're right, they are the same. The second is the tam of the reason of the first. Ma tam te'ima psula. What's the reason why a piece of wool that was dyed in a test cannot be used for tcheles? Why is it possible? Mishum devinin tzvi lishma. We need a dying l'shem tchelis. Here it wasn't for tchelis, it was for the test. That's why you can't use it for real tchelis. This third halacha, that if you would pour back the dye that had been used in the test, back in the yorah, it would pasul the whole yorah, ketanoi z'machlogis tanoi. Tanakam holds te'ima psula, that the dye used in the test is pasul to be used for tchelis, because once it was used the first time, and now you want to use it the second time, it loses its strength as proper dye for tchelis. And the pasuk says, "Mishum shenemer klil tchelis," and klil means kol. You have to use the full strength of the dye of the tchelis. You can't use the second once you've used it already in the test. So now you're using it a second time, the same dye. That can't be used. That's possible. The Virab Kanani Ben Gamliel. However, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Davoy Yomer, Afilu Mara Sheni Shebo Kosher, even the second use of the same dye is still kosher. Shem Shenem, because the Pasuk says, Ushni Solas. And I learn out, Shni Solas Bepashtus means a thread of crimson wool, of red wool. However, I learn out, Sheni, the second, I could use the second, the same dye a second time and it'll still be kosher. And Rashi says it has tchelis and shni shalas in the same pasuk. So I say just like a second use of the dye for red is kosher, so to a second use of the tchelis is also kosher. So it comes out this third halacha that we learned that te'ima pasuls the yora if it would have been put back is really a machloikis tanoim according to Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, you're right, it's possible. However, according to Rav Yochanan ben Davoy, that second usage of the dye after the initial test would still, according to his shita, be kosher.